Welcome to Local St. Charles. This podcast is done in conjunction with the Greater St. Charles County Chamber of Commerce and focuses on local businesses, their successes, their stories, and their challenges. The Local St. Charles podcast is produced by Changescape Web.
Hey everybody, this is Ken Tucker with Changescape Web. And I want to welcome all of you to the Local St. Charles podcast. Today I have Amber Fitzgerald of the Fitzgerald Firm. Your firm focuses on legal services and real estate. Welcome, Amber.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to learn more about your business. So tell me a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about your firm, as well as what makes your business model unique and the service offerings that you have also as unique.
Absolutely. So personally, I am an attorney and a realtor and a mom. So balancing, you know, a lot of different things. And that is really what got me to start this firm. So we really focus on catering to busy families that need a handful of different services. So we do estate planning, which is really one of the biggest demographics that we serve. Estate planning is one of those things that people often put off until later in life and just, you know, don't really prioritize until they think, oh my gosh, I should have done this 50 years ago, right? So we really try to make that accessible to parents. And then we pair that with real estate services, because oftentimes what you see is people go to buy and sell a house, the title company says, hey, do you have a trust? And they go, well, what does that mean? So a lot of times we see, hey, we need to put these pieces together and make sure that we're serving people where they're at a time in life when, yeah, there's a lot of change going on, but we can make sure that we're making that change and those transitions a little bit smoother for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit more complicated than I think a lot of people realize, but it's also incredibly valuable to go through the process of getting your estate planning done and getting it done sooner rather than later, because if you go to probate, that's not a good situation. It's a little uncomfortable to think about, you know, the potentiality of, you know, why you're putting the estate plan in place, but it's very important to do so. Well, that's awesome. So how did you get started?
You know, that's a really good question. When I was in law school, the last thing on my list that I wanted to do was run my own firm. Like if you asked me, what are you going to do? I would have listed 1,000 things before I said, go out on my own. But then, you know, I ended up interning a couple of different places and I went, you know what? I don't feel like I'm serving people. So I was in compliance for a few years after law school. Before that, I had done consulting for 10 years and I just went, you know what? This is not allowing me to help real people with real problems. And it's not serving my passions. It's not allowing me to combine the things that I love, which turned out to be estate planning and real estate. And I didn't want to give up either one of them. And I came to a place where, because of the compliance, I had to choose. So I either had to give up doing the stuff that I wanted to do or go out on my own. And I decided to go out on my own.
So what do you mean by compliance? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So I worked in financial compliance, which really gave me a great background to understanding how estates work as far as, you know, when we have complicated assets, what do we do with them? What are the rules? And it was really interesting and I liked it a lot. But like I said, I just wasn't serving real people. I worked for a large company and it just wasn't the same.
Yeah. So, I mean, my experience with compliance and financial, because I'm a digital marketer, so I've worked with a couple of financial advisors, is that everything that they publish has to go through compliance review to make sure that it's not providing, you know, guidance or recommendations and things like that. That's what you were doing?
Yes, that's what I was doing.
I see why you left.
Right. I just didn't get to interact with, like, my team was great. They were fantastic people, but it just wasn't the same as getting to serve clients.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So is it safe to say that you really focus on serving moms and families in your practice? And if so, describe how you do that and you know, kind of what drew you to that a little bit more.
So how I do that, you know, a lot of our services are centered around what do you do when you have minor children, right? And like we said earlier, people just really don't think about estate planning until later in life, when really the most crucial time that you need it is when you have little kids at home, when they may need a guardian if something happens to you, making sure that the assets go to them without going to probate, which can be really tricky when you have minor children because they can't own anything. So there has to be an adult in charge, and you want to be able to pick who that adult is. So while we will serve a broader customer base, we really hone in on families. And the way that we do that for estate planning is making our process very, very simple. So usually it's a three-step process, and the time investment from the families is really just about 2 hours. And we can do everything we need to do in two or three conversations to make it that really simple. I have kids running around, can't really give you a ton of time. That's okay. I get it. I've got a kid running around too. So we want to make sure that we understand, hey, these are the very tight parameters that we're working within.
Yeah. Okay. You say that you crafted your services to meet moms where they are. Can you describe that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we do is we work very flexibly. So pretty much everything I do, especially in the estate planning realm, is virtual. So if you never want to meet me in person, that is completely fine. In fact, the majority of my clients, I never meet face to face because it's just too hard. They don't have time to come to an office. But if you want to meet in person, I come to your house. Like when we sign paperwork, if you want, I will come to you, because then you don't have to get a sitter. You don't have to call grandma and grandpa to come over and watch the kids. You can be there and be present while we're signing documents. So it's really those flexibility pieces that allows us to cater to parents in a different way.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I think that's great because I think, you know, the world has just changed over the last 4 years, you know, and people's expectations have absolutely changed. And now more than ever, I think people have the expectation that a lot of things can be done virtually. You know, I see it reflected in the businesses that I work with where people don't even want to, they don't even want to call somebody to book a time to meet. They just want to go online. They want to click a calendar. They want to schedule a meeting and be done because their lives are busy. And they also got spoiled, you know, during staying at home a lot of times with COVID. So they don't want to give up certain things that they found to be very helpful and practical in their daily lives. So, yeah.
And cool. I'm that person. I want to go click a button and schedule it myself. So I expect that that's what my clients want. So we have a calendar and they can click on it and schedule whenever they desire.
Yeah. Yeah. That I think that's fantastic. That's absolutely the right thing to do, in my opinion. So talk a little bit about how you impact families on a daily basis. I mean, is there anything that you do that really, you know, impacts them, you know, on a day-to-day kind of situation? Or certainly I get, you know, in the longer term, you know, if there's a life event that happens with the estate plan, you know, how you help with all of that. But talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of the things that happen here and now.
You know, one of the favorite things that I hear from my clients, which usually we hear when we're signing documents, is, okay, now I have peace of mind. Now I know that if something happens, my kids are taken care of the way that I wanted them to be taken care of. So for estate planning, that day to day is really just knowing everything's covered. If something happens, I don't have to worry about it because those bases have been covered. When it comes to real estate, I love getting families into new homes that meet their needs in a totally different way than the one they had before. You know, kind of in the industry, we call them move up buyers, right? They're going from that first home, they've had their kids in it, and now it's, you know, they're bursting at the seams and they got to get out. I was that person, so I get it. And I love helping people make that transition because every day is easier when their space caters to them better.
Yeah. How much of your business is real estate versus the legal services, if you don't mind my asking?
You know, we try to keep it about a 50-50 split. There's a lot of crossover. So a lot of times our clients come for one thing and stay for multiple things. So it just kind of depends on the time of year. You know, as we're heading into springtime, real estate's going to take over a little bit more. And in the wintertime, we see a little bit more estate planning.
Yeah. Okay. Is that a fairly unique combination that you find, you know, that you, a space that you've kind of carved out doing both?
It is. So I don't really actually know of any other attorneys that are doing both practices together. And there's a handful of attorneys that do real estate because they happen to have their license. But I don't know a whole lot of people that are putting those together.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I mean, being able to niche and having, you know, a differentiator in a marketplace, you know, where you really kind of bridge that gap and provide that service where nobody else is doing that. First of all, it, you know, it's great for messaging, potentially, if you're, you know, if you're getting that messaging out, you know, and it makes it a lot easier to target your ideal customers. You know, some from a business, from running a business perspective, it's very beneficial, and it allows you to develop deeper expertise as well. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it really does. We try very hard not to take on projects or clients that we know that we can't serve well. I'm happy to refer you out if it's not what I do. But if it's not what I do and it's not where my expertise lies, generally speaking, I'm going to send you to the right person because I want to make sure you get the service that you need.
Yeah. Okay, cool. As a person who started your own business, what advice do you have to others who are thinking about starting their business? And also, I'd love your perspective on what it's been for you starting a business as a woman-owned business, because I think there are some, we still unfortunately have some challenges that I think a lot of businesses have to face. And so I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Absolutely. I would say my initial piece of advice is it's not as terrifying as you think it's going to be. It is still terrifying, but it's not quite as terrifying as it initially seems when you start out. So to some extent, you just have to jump in and go for it. Like I said earlier, it was the last thing on my list while I was in law school. I never thought it would happen. I had zero desire for that. But now I wouldn't have it any other way. I couldn't imagine not running my own business and having that freedom and the flexibility to meet people where they are. As far as, you know, being a woman-owned business, I think the challenge is you try to take on everything. I want to do all of the pieces of my business. And at first, with any business, when you're a startup, there's financial concerns that you want to, you know, try to cut costs so it's easier to just do it yourself. But what I found pretty quickly was I cannot, in fact, do all of the pieces myself. I am not an expert in everything. And so I had to find partners that were experts in the things that I just couldn't do or couldn't do well. So marketing is not my strong suit. So I have a handful of marketing partners that come alongside and do the things that I can't do so that I can focus on my clients and serve them and not have to worry about where is the next client coming from. That's their job and they've got it covered. And that honestly was the biggest change when I decided, you know, I can't do this myself. I need help.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things, a couple of, you know, just practical things that I think are challenges for getting a business started is, you know, you've got to give yourself enough runway. You've got to have enough funding or, you know, or a cushion to be able to fall back on until you start to get some billable revenue coming into your business. And then the second challenge is always going to be around insurance, you know, because insurance costs are not necessarily cheap. And so if you don't have insurance, a nice solution for insurance, that can be a little bit of a challenge. And I think that's one of the areas where, you know, the chamber can actually help because they have some nice group plans that you can take advantage of. But yeah, that's just my experience. I think that freaks out a lot of people and it stops them. But believe me, I agree with you. Once you've had the pleasure of running your own business, I can't imagine ever going back to work for anybody else. I mean, it would just be impossible at this point.
Agreed. It would be, yes, it would be impossible. I couldn't imagine trying to do it.
Yeah. So are there any common misconceptions that you have to deal with associated with either the estate planning aspect or the combination of estate planning plus real estate? You know, and if so, let's get those dispelled right now.
You know, I would say in both of those areas, the common misconceptions, not shockingly, are around finances. So estate planning, so often I hear from clients or just people I'm chatting with. I mean, honestly, even my own husband has said this. We don't have enough money. We don't need a trust or we don't need estate planning. We don't need anything. Well, do you own a house? Yeah. Then you need an estate plan because the house is going to get tied up in probate. Your bank accounts, maybe they don't have $6 million in them. Mine doesn't either, but I don't want it to go through probate. Because you're going to lose a huge chunk of your assets trying to accomplish getting your assets transferred to the people that you wanted it to go to, or it has to go to somebody, right? It can't just sit there. So that's probably the biggest estate planning misconception is we don't have that much. So therefore we don't need an estate plan. And that's really not, you know, that's a pretty arbitrary line where if you have a house, if you have a retirement account, life insurance, like any of those check the box for, hey, I need to have a plan in place. Otherwise it's going to not be so great for my family when something happens. And I would say real estate, especially right now, is a similar thing. You know, rates feel like they're high, even though historically these rates aren't that bad. We just got spoiled because of COVID. We had baby rates and that was great. But just because rates are higher doesn't mean that you can't afford a house. Because lenders have a lot of flexibility. It doesn't seem like it sometimes, but they really do. So finding an agent that has a great lending partner is going to make it so much easier to find a house, because a lot of times my clients are like, oh, I can get approved for that. Yeah, you absolutely can. And it comes in at a payment that they can afford and they're shocked by that. But a lot of people just aren't even starting down the road because they just don't think there's options out there for them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think in terms of estate, you know, it's a cumulative thing, and it's easy to forget, but when you add together cars and houses and, you know, retirement plans and, you know, all that stuff, it adds up pretty quickly. And I don't want you to go down a rabbit hole, because I know this is probably a topic that you could talk about for hours, but can you just kind of talk about why you want to avoid probate?
Absolutely. So for those of you that aren't really aware what probate is the arm of the court system that allows us to transfer assets. And a lot of times that happens when somebody dies. That's quite often when we end up in probate. And probate is extremely time consuming. So the minimum amount of time your assets are stuck in probate is 6 months. I have rarely seen that happen. Usually you're there for 12 to 18 months. So your assets are tied up and you can't do a whole lot with them, or your family can't do a whole lot with them. And it's really expensive. So in Missouri, we kind of have this tiered fee system that goes half to the attorney, half to the executor, plus there's court costs on top of that. So it gets really expensive really fast, and it takes a chunk of your estate. It's a percentage of the dollar amount that's being probated, which is unfortunate, especially if something just got forgotten. I have a client that their mom's account should have been put in her trust. It just didn't happen the right way. The paperwork didn't get filled out while she was alive. And after she passed, it was too late. And now we have to deal with probate, and they're losing money that otherwise they could have kept.
Yeah. Okay. What educational offerings do you provide to your clients or prospective clients?
That's a great question. So we love to do webinars. It's one of our favorite ways to reach people. So we do webinars for estate planning. We're getting ready to roll out webinars for first-time home buyers, so that they can really understand, hey, here's what this process that seems a little overwhelming actually looks like, and it's not that bad. And with the right guidance, you can walk through that, right? And then, you know, the first time we meet with our clients, we don't charge for consultations. So that first meetup is always educational. I want to make sure if you are spending the time to chat with me on the phone and you're giving me half an hour or 45 minutes of your time, I want to make sure you come away feeling like, oh, I learned something. So we talk through estate planning. We talk about what probate is, what is a will, what is a trust, how do they function? So that every client I'm coming in contact with is getting that educational piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you talk at all about, and I know that this is, you know, something that's probably not very comfortable for a lot of people, but do you talk at all about, in the event that there is a death and we do have to start transferring things, you know, within the estate and whatnot, what kind of plan, you know, is going to be kicked in to be able to do that? And then also just an idea of what kind of costs you might face dealing with some of the situations that are pretty common.
Yeah, absolutely. So we I like that you said the word plans, because we do everything on a flat fee when it comes to estate planning. All of our packages, you know exactly what you're getting. And, you know, we've kind of outlined that so that you don't feel like, hey, if I call, are they going to charge me for 15 minutes? We don't want that barrier that we just don't need with estate planning. So you can get all of your questions answered and changes made and all of that good stuff. So the investment for estate planning ranges from a little under 2,000, and then it goes up from there. The range is pretty broad depending on your situation and what you need, because some people come to me and say, you know, well, I need multiple trusts. Well, that's obviously going to be more complex and therefore a little bit more costly. But I would say for the average person, you're looking at around $2,000 to $3,000, just kind of depending on what they need.
Okay. And, you know, that may still be a little bit of a sticker shock for some people, but believe me, the peace of mind that you get for that is well worth it, I think. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last question I have for you is, you're a member of the St. Charles Regional Chamber. I'd just love to know what your experience has been. I've been a member, I think, since 2008. And, you know, obviously, since I've been a member that long, I find that it's a very useful organization. But I always love to hear why people joined and how has the chamber helped you out?
So I joined the chamber because I just wanted to meet other business owners and learn from them. And they, I feel like, do a fantastic job of saying, here's opportunities that you wouldn't otherwise have sought out. Here's things that can help your business grow, help you meet other people. And Lori in particular has been amazing. She's answered all of my questions. She's gone out of her way to help me get oriented. And I just very much appreciate that. And, you know, they really have done a good job of providing, I think, opportunities for putting your business out there in a way that says, hey, you're a new business owner. You've been around for a while. It doesn't really matter, but we're going to help you get in front of people and give you opportunities to say, hey, this is what I do, and let's have a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I absolutely agree. I love what the chamber has done. I think it's a great chamber. One of the things that we wanted to do, my company, during COVID, was because my company actually, you know, continued to do pretty well because we were already accustomed to working in a virtual environment. I wanted to be able to provide, you know, support to the chamber to help other businesses in the chamber, you know, still have some visibility. And so, you know, we kind of talked about starting this podcast, and that's why we're here today. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
All right. So Amber, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
That's a great question. So my phone number is a great way. You know, my phone's always with me. Somebody will answer. Or if you go to the website, there is a form that you can fill out and we will get back in contact with you.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Amber. I really enjoyed talking with you.
I enjoyed talking to you too. Thanks so much for having me. This was fun.
Thank you.
We want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to today's podcast. Please be sure and subscribe to the Local St. Charles podcast in your podcast software. We'd love for you to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. And please don't forget to visit localstcharles.com for more episodes, information on local businesses, free resources, and a link to set up a free consultation with the host of this podcast. Thanks again and stay tuned.